Back in the 19th century, there lived a disgruntled individual by the name of Charles Guiteau, who came to Washington, D.C. on the assumption that he was promised a job in the new Garfield administration. Now, back in the 19th century, if we recall our civics lessons, we had something called a spoil system, whereby the new president appointed virtually everyone in his administration. Everyone was a political appointee. Favoritism was rampant. So civil rights were not yet sought after. They weren't even contemplated. So when Mr. Guiteau came to Washington, he was behaving pretty much like everybody else did who got the president elected, but he didn't. And so when he didn't get that job, he became disenchanted, began stalking the president quite literally for 2 months, wearing the same thing day after day, if you believe historical accounts, until he caught up with the president, shot the president. The president died after lingering miserably in the Washington summer for 11 weeks. Now, this is the first recorded incident of stalking in U.S. history. Now, not to make light of this horrific event, but it quite literally took the assassination of a president to alter the course of the civil service system, away from a system based on spoils to one founded on performance, qualifications, and merit, hence our name, and not on political or personal favoritism. Beginning with 1881 and the Pendleton Act, which we remember, that created our predecessor organization and fathered the Civil Service Commission and created OPM and MSPB, through to the Civil Service Reform Act in 1978, which followed on the heels of the Civil Rights Movement and separated us from OPM and fathered OSC, Congress created a system to protect a core of career professionals dedicated to the public interest. That system is further enshrined in 9 statutory merit principles, each one of which addresses some aspect of the spoils system and are the hallmark and foundation of civil rights in federal employment. Employment determined solely on qualifications, merit principle number 1. Full and fair and equitable treatment without discrimination, merit principle number 2. Equal pay for equal work, merit principle number 3. Retention based on performance only, number 6. Protection from partisan politics and protection from reprisal for whistleblowing, just to mention a few. Now, these principles, along with our jurisdiction, cover virtually every aspect of federal employment, quite literally from cradle to grave. Cradle being hiring and pay setting, to grave meaning separation, and actually our jurisdiction goes beyond the grave. We handle the OPM retirement and survivor annuity benefits, so we see OPM quite a bit. We at the MSPB call ourselves the guardians of merit because we are called upon daily to safeguard, protect, and promote the 9 merit principles through our 3 statutory functions. The first is, of course, what we are famous for, and that is the adjudication of cases. And it is here where we share overlapping jurisdiction with the EEOC in the so-called and aptly named mixed cases, which I understand there was a workshop on yesterday. And that's where we would have initial jurisdiction, suspensions more than 14 days, removals, and the employee raises a claim of discrimination. Here, our decision can be reviewed by the EEOC, and we, in turn, can see if we agree with the EEOC, as Commissioner Fellbloom can attest to. It's kind of a tennis match, and generally, the MSPB loses. But that's a separate process. Let me give you an idea of the volume of cases we generally have. We have 226 employees. Last year, those 226 employees adjudicated over 17,000 cases. And yes, the bulk of those cases were furlough appeals, which we still have a small batch left. But just because we have quantity in abundance doesn't mean that our process lacks quality. We are at a 3-year high in our affirmance rate by the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit, which is our reviewing court. So we think, to quote our keynote speaker, we got game. Our second statutory function is to review the significant actions of OPM in terms of its compliance with the merit principles and to ensure that there are no prohibited personnel practices in federal employment, such as discrimination, such as reprisal. Now, once again, this function harkens back to our origins and seeks to distinguish our current system from the spoil system, whereby the creator of rules for federal employment, OPM, is separate from the adjudicator of those rules and whether those rules are proper and properly implemented in accordance with law so that the civil rights are safeguarded. It is our final statutory function that I want to talk about today, which is to study and issue reports to the President and the Congress and our community, which includes everybody in this room. And those studies are about the health and well-being of the mayor principals and to see whether the federal service is free of prohibited personnel practices. It is under this function that we issued our report on due process in the federal sector last May, and timing is everything. Nothing can be more intertwined with the protection of civil rights than due process before the suspension or removal of one's livelihood. It is a constitutional right. It is enshrined in statute, 5 U.S.C. 7513. It is enforced not just by us, but dictated by the Supreme Court in Cleveland Board of Education versus Loudermill. And what that right, and you guys know this, what that right simply means is the right to be heard by an agency, to tell your side of the story before the agency makes its final decision to suspend, demote, or remove. And under statute, and you know this, that period is 30 days to reply to a proposed action before the agency takes action. So why 30 days? Why not 7? 30 days to ensure that suspensions, demotions, removals are not taken at random, not taken for improper or discriminating motives, and not taken to silence those who seek to correct or improve their work environment. And perhaps now, more than any other time that I can remember, Congress is debating what process, if any, is due to the employees at the Veterans Administration. Now, if we all recall this time last year, Congress passed a law that was aimed at addressing the misconduct of employees who disguised medical appointment wait times for veterans returning from the war. That law has wonderful things for those who have unselfishly served our country with dignity, but it also eliminates any prior notice to VA senior executives before the VA secretary removes them, and only reluctantly permits a limited and yet unreviewable decision by an MSPB administrative judge within 21 days, or the removal stands by default. Now think about 21 days. That's 21 days to create a case, to find counsel, to conduct discovery, review documents, interview witnesses, to mount a defense to protect a reputation, or the removal stands by default. Now, whereas there are only a few hundred SESers covered by this law, Congress today seeks to expand this law to all healthcare professionals at the VA. That's another 190,000 employees who faced the loss of constitutional due process. And while I do not pass judgment or condone the behavior of the executives removed under this law, I can say, and you should as well, that the civil rights that we have all fought so hard for during these last 50 years have expired for the VA SESers and face extinction for hundreds of thousands of other employees at that same agency. And it really wasn't until a few weeks ago that our lawmakers saw the light to recognize the constitutional flaws in this pending legislation, citing our report, citing our public comments, and saying that agencies cannot take federal employment away without at least the opportunity to respond. And even the White House agreed that this legislation carries with it some serious constitutional concerns and that the president would veto this legislation if it came to him. And yet, the bill passed with a healthy majority. It's in the Senate right now. So today, yes, we do celebrate everything we've done, everything you've done, our collective achievement towards a more fair and impartial workplace. But I also ask you, and I call on you, to join me in recognizing that the battle does not end today, that our erosion, any erosion of our achievements, will not be tolerated. Today it's the VA. Tomorrow it could be your agency. We should never rest on our laurels. because laurels wither and fade, and our civil rights, our basic constitutional due process, should not.